Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, just a great delight and privilege to be in the studio to answer your questions on the eve before New Year's Eve. Contact information, you can find us on the web at equip.org, via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants are standing by. You can call them at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Just a couple of points of information and then right to our callers. The first is, I am hoping and praying that many of you who have not read through the Bible in a year will make a New Year's resolution today or tomorrow, and beginning with the new year, start reading through the Bible. In fact, I've developed a legacy reading plan. You can find it on the web at equip.org. It's an innovative approach to reading the 66 love letters, one book at a time, and again for the rest of your life. The format is specifically formulated to make your time in God's Word the very best it can be. And this plan is unique in that it requires you to process books of the Bible rather than piecing together bits of books. The overarching objective is to read through the Bible once a year, every year, for the rest of your life. And I've taken the reading calendar, segmented into seasons, and the seasons into months, so at the beginning of each year, you know that during the winter, your focus will be on the Pentateuch and poetry. In spring, the historical books. In summer, the prophets. And during the fall, the New Testament. And then what I've done is divided each season further into months. So January, your goal is going to be read through Genesis and through Exodus. And then, for example, in December, the Synoptic Gospels and Acts. And there are going to be times when you will naturally read 10 chapters at a time, and other times when you'll read one or two. But more importantly, you'll read through the Bible just as you read through other literature, and you will start to get the sense of individual writers, which is really cool. For example, what's cool about John is he wrote 5 books, and he uses particular items that you will not find anywhere else. So his personality, his proclivities are clearly evident in his writing. For example, John alone identifies Jesus as the Word or the Logos. And likewise, he alone identifies Jesus as the true witness. And it is John who is most exploiting the Mosaic requirement of the two witnesses. So his fingerprints, in other words, are all over his writings. So when you read through those writings in one piece, you get a sense of his particular style as he is inspired by the Spirit of God. Let's go right to our phone calls. Talk to Kevin, listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Hank. Let me get you on the phone here. I could talk to you forever. I love your program. I'm going to make it real quick for you. If you could expound, if you know a little bit about it. I read a book, and I hope this is the name of it, called The Harbinger. I forget the exact name. Am I right on it? Is it called The Harbinger?
Yeah, very well pronounced. Yes, okay. It's a book by Jonathan Kahn.
That's right. I'm going to hang up, and I was going to ask you, if you could just, whatever you can expound on it, what the truth is of that, and what you can explain to us people who like to know more about it, if it's true, if it's not true. Thank you so much, Hank.
You got it. And what I can say without equivocation is that this is sensationalism, it's sophistry, and it is turning Scripture into a wax nose. It is abominable on a lot of different levels, and it is a great, great shame that so many Christians are falling for this. It's a shame that this is even being promoted in Christian circles. Khan says that there are nine harbingers. You can find him in Isaiah 9:10, all of which manifested in ancient Israel in the nation's last days, and now he says they're all happening again in America according to the same pattern of ancient Israel, as though there is a double fulfillment, one that took place in ancient Israel and one that is taking place in modern America. And so then he says, well, these harbingers tell us that America is under divine judgment. Well, certainly I can tell you that America is in a very, very sad state of affairs. The foundation of life is corroding. What was once solid granite is now shifting sand. What's built on that foundation, marriage, has been redefined. And when you flood an economy with counterfeit money, it devalues everything. Not just money, but everything. Not only so, but government is in a state of absolute chaos. I mean, you think about an aging infrastructure and no real money or funds to rebuild that aging infrastructure. And then you look at the church, 25 major evangelical denominations, about 23 of them in a state of major decline. So there are huge signs of turmoil. And we've talked about those huge signs of turmoil. But there's no warrant for taking Isaiah's prophecy and abusing that prophecy in the way that Khan has done. If you look at what's going on, the essence of Isaiah's book is Isaiah foresees impending doom looming on the horizon, and his prophecies would ultimately find their fulfillment in the Assyrian and Babylonian conquests. He also sees, of course, a coming Messiah who would ultimately deliver the people of God from the wrath that was to come. And there's a sense in which you can take Isaiah's prophecies and see in them typological fulfillment. For example, Isaiah chapter 7, there's a very direct typological fulfillment. In fact, Matthew says as much in Matthew chapter 2. He says this was to fulfill what was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. Again, it is a typological fulfillment in contrast to a predictive fulfillment such as what you find in Micah 5:2 fulfilled in Matthew 2:5. So there's first and foremost a need for Christians to understand the difference between predictive prophecy and typological prophecy, but there's also a need to see how bankrupt the whole notion of double fulfillment is, particularly as it is rendered with a great deal of sophistry and sensationalism in The Harbinger. This is a book that practices horrible hermeneutics. We should be good at the art and science of biblical interpretation. This book most certainly is not. He also sensationalizes the blood moons very much in the same capacity as a John Hagee does. So again, it is a real shame that Christians are buying into this kind of sensationalism that always leaves them empty. These prophecy peddlers bank on the fact that Christians have short memories. So first it's the blood moons, and then it's something else, and a few years ago it was something else, and we have short memories. And so we keep buying the garbage that is being peddled to us via these prophecy pundits. It is indeed a crime and a shame. Back to the phone lines, Mike in Missouri. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
In John 11, when Mary comes to Jesus, Jesus saw her weeping, and then the Jews that came with her were weeping. He groaned in spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And said to him, "Come see, Lord." And Jesus wept. And then Jesus said, see how he loved him? And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of a blind man keep this man from dying? Then again, Jesus groaned within himself. I'm just wondering, you know.
So I only have a few minutes, and I can explain it very quickly. When the text says that Jesus groaned, it means that he was deeply moved, perhaps even angered. In context, it appears Jesus was very troubled over the consequences of sin and death. But as you see, all of this is used for a purpose by our Lord. I thank you, says Jesus in his prayer to the Father, that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you have sent me. The miracles that Jesus Christ did, including raising Lazarus from the dead, attested to who he was as the fulfillment, as the only one who could walk through the luminous tapestry of Old Testament prophecy. Be right back.
The Christian Research Institute is supported by people like you who share our mission to equip all Christians to give an answer for the hope we have. So every life-changing broadcast and resource is made possible by your prayers and gifts. A generous response from ministry partners like you in these final hours will help the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast to end the year on a solid footing. Please partner with us at this crucial time. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org to give your tax-deductible gift today. That's equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
Did you know that you are an important part of God's plan for the Bible Answer Man broadcast in the Christian Research Institute? CRI is supported by people like you who share our mission to equip Christians to give an answer for the hope we have. So every life-changing broadcast and resource is made possible by your prayers and gifts. As our world concludes the challenging year of 2022, consider the famous lines from C.T. Studd's poem, "Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." For those of us who have set our hearts and eyes on eternity, that's an important reminder. Please partner with Hank Hanegraaff and CRI at this crucial time. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI. and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to your calls. Next up is Adam, listening in Chattanooga, Tennessee, on the web. Hi, Adam.
Hello. I haven't been listening to you real long. I actually come across your name on a YouTube video, so I've been listening to you about 6 months now. But I've got two friends that I go to church with who kind of really, really hold to a lot of stuff that Kent Hovind was pushing and teaching and everything. And I just watched a few things. They still show him on a TV channel where I live at. But I was just curious. I mean, I don't really hold to a lot of the things that he says. And I'm just curious, you know, your stance on it. I mean, is he biblical, or is he just painting a real pretty picture?
Well, I think he's a biblically unreliable teacher in general. He lends credence to Bible codes, gospel in the stars, pyramidology. He believes the sons of God were demons having sex with women and procreating, when the Bible's very clear, kinds reproduce after their own kinds. And Genesis 6, in context, is a judgment on fallen humanity. He talks about universal product codes, or UPC, barcodes bearing the number 666 in relationship to the mark of the beast in Revelation chapter 13. So a lot of sophistry, script torture, sensationalism in his teachings. He's very adamant about King James Version only, as though that's the only reliable version extant today. He's very divisive in his dogmatism, particularly with respect to those who have differences of opinion with him on secondary issues. And, you know, I don't know if he's changed at all since he's served his prison sentence for 58 federal counts, including tax fraud. I don't know if he's become less divisive, so I really don't know what his current status is, but I do know that he's been pretty divisive in the past and, as I said, fixated on sophistry and sensationalism.
All right. That's what I kind of found some of the stuff to be a little out there and everything. Like I said, I've watched a few of them while I've been visiting and everything, and he gets kind of name-calling about, you know, people's different views of things. And I thought, well, that just isn't very polite, you know, if you're trying to reach out across the table.
Here's the thing. Yeah, I think that what we need to do is do what we do with gentleness and with respect, and in essentials have unity, non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity. I mean, if someone is compromising, confusing, or outright contradicting the essentials of the Christian faith, to mention that publicly, I have no problem with whatsoever. In fact, you find ample precedent for doing that in the scriptures. But again, you can do something without being divisive. What ultimately divides is the doctrines of people who, again, compromise, confuse, or outright contradict the essentials of the historic Christian faith. And these are the very doctrines for which the martyrs shed their blood. So to be passionless when it comes to them, of course, is inappropriate as well. There ought to be passion. And when you have people abusing the public airwaves with all kinds of false teachings, and they're doing it publicly, they ought to be rebuked publicly as well. Let's go back to the phone line, talk to Carrie, Seattle, Washington. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Hank. Hey, my question is, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Is he saying that heaven and earth are not eternal?
No. Just as when Peter says that the present heavens and the earth will pass away, he's communicating that the cosmos will be thoroughly transformed. He's not talking about total termination. It's kind of like a caterpillar. When a caterpillar passes away, a butterfly emerges. They're the same physically, but they're different organizationally. But nonetheless, there's a real passing away and a real connection and a real continuity. And so what happens to our bodies and what happens to the earth or creation go together. And what happens to our bodies is not annihilation, but redemption. And the same thing is true with respect to the heavens and the earth. When Jesus appears a second time, this universe, which groans in travail, will be liberated from its bondage to decay, and we ourselves also.
So maybe it was kind of lost in the translation. It's heaven and earth as we know it will pass away?
Yeah, I mean, it's not lost in the translation. I think what's important is to interpret those words in light of the whole of Scripture. When Jesus appears a second time, the habitation of God and the habitation of humanity, now separated as it were, will be conjoined, no longer separate but one, and the universe again, which, as Paul says in Romans chapter 8, groans in travail, awaiting its liberation from bondage to decay, will then be transformed. So totally transformed as opposed to totally terminated.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Hank.
Hey, you got it. Thanks so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Matei, listening in Indian Trail, North Carolina. Hi, Matei.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
First of all, just thank you for your ministry and taking my phone call.
You're welcome.
Quick question for you. And I look online. I just can't find any good answers for this. Psalms 137, verse 9, talking about happy is he who dashes at children's head in. Can you explain what that verse is about? Because I know a lot of atheists love harping on that and using against Christians and how evil God is.
Yeah. Well, first of all, this is a description of David's emotions, not a prescription in a general sense. But this is the emotion in a prophetic sense of what is going on when the Babylonians come and tear the land that God has given to the Israelites, tear the land in two, the northern kingdom destroyed by the Assyrians, the southern kingdom destroyed by the Babylonians, and the evil that is inherent in the Babylonian way, where they are worshiping false gods, where they're sacrificing their sons and daughters in the fire, where they're involved in all kinds of gross immorality. And in essence, what David is saying is to plead to the Lord to liberate us from this kind of evil that debases humanity. But again, the Psalms in this sense, as codified in this particular verse, are descriptive, but they're not prescriptive. And that is true in many passages of Scripture. But look, David himself recognizes his own sin and calls down judgment upon himself for the evil that he caused. And part of that evil meant that an infant died, which was a result of his union with Bathsheba after he killed Bathsheba's husband. And then he says, "Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness." And he pleads for forgiveness. And he says, "You do not desire sacrifice, or I would bring it. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." And that's the point. That's the point in terms of the prescription of Scripture, whether you're a Canaanite like Ruth or you are someone who commits murder like David, if you fall upon the mercy of God, he will forgive you. So the basic principle of Scripture is blessings to those who follow and cursings to those who rebel. And ultimately, the worst thing that can happen is not to die young. The worst thing that can happen from a biblical perspective is to live a long, robust life and never use it in service of the Master. Unfortunately, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do want to say to everybody listening in that, again, we will usher in a brand new year, and it is so critical that in this new year, you not only get into the Word of God, but you get the Word of God into you. That means meditating upon the Bible. It means memorizing the Bible. It means mining the Bible for all its wealth. My prayer for you in the coming year is that the Bible will become your bulwark, that you will look to the Bible first for your sustenance. It is my prayer that Christ will richly dwell within you so that you can say with Peter, I am a partaker of the divine nature. Again, doesn't mean you can be worshipped as God, doesn't mean that you are God as God is in the Godhead, but it does mean that you can partake of the energies of God. That means being a faithful, reproducing member of a healthy, well-balanced church, because it is within the church that you can partake of the means of grace. So again, it is my prayer that you will participate in the greatest enterprise known to man, a participant in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, a co-laborer with Jesus Christ, as we stand together in the battle for life and truth. Well, Happy New Year to all, and do remember you can make your tax-deductible gift. You can either write a check, send it to Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org, or when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Our prayer is that the coming year will be the most significant year in the history of the Christian Research Institute. You can make that possible as we stand shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. Happy New Year.
Thank you for joining us today. Today's growing firestorm of false teachers, fringe religions, and fierce attacks on Christianity is enough to shake the faith of even the most dedicated believers. When you give to support the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, you help strengthen many who need guidance and help those whose faith is unwavering draw even closer to Christ. Your tax-deductible gift by December 31st helps us end the year strong and prepared to bring you even more life-changing resources in the new year. Please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
Did you know that you are an important part of God's plan for the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute? CRI is supported by people like you who share our mission to equip Christians to give an answer for the hope we have. So every life-changing broadcast and resource is made possible by your prayers and gifts. As our world concludes the challenging year of 2022, consider the famous lines from C.T. Studd's poem, "Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." For those of us who have set our hearts and eyes on eternity, that's an important reminder. Please partner with Hank Hanegraaff and CRI at this crucial time. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.